And now, AM 650 presents Tony and Casey's Best of Food and Wine. Here's Tony and Casey.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Best of Food and Wine. Tonight, we'll talk to the co-authors of The Flavor Principle about Argentinian short ribs and a bare bones wine pantry. But first, we'll talk to David Schumann, author of 99 Bottles of Wine, and no, not on the wall, but on the bottle, about his patience and commitment to designing successful wine labels, and we'll give away copies of The Flavor Principle and 99 Bottles. All that and more coming up next on Vancouver's Primetime Food and Wine Show on AM 650, the best of food and wine.
Drink a little red wine, we'll steak, some apology.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the show on, I think it's going to be the last day of summer, Casey.
I think so.
Pretty nice weather. I don't know what's going on out there, but we'll take it. Excited to be back from Spain, and actually our trip to Spain, I think, dovetails perfectly into our first guest today. We were overwhelmed by design everywhere we went in Spain.
We were, from the artwork to the labels on bottles.
Yeah, every winery had some connection to design. It was crazy, something we don't see a lot of in North America. But maybe we'll see more, and we want to talk to our next guest. Joining us now is David Schumann. He's the author of 99 Bottles of Wine, The Making of Contemporary Wine Labels, a really fascinating subject. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me on the show today.
Hey, it's great to have you, and to talk about wine labels. I often talk in my side of the business. I think that the back label is the most important part of a wine label, but you obviously think the front is.
Well, they're both super important for sure. We talk about a theme in the book quite a bit about how we drink with our eyes as humans. It's one of our major senses, and it really does affect not only our purchase intent and helps us kind of learn a little bit about the wines and maybe attract us to a certain package and give us an opportunity to try them later on. But it also really does affect the way we perceive the wine and
right.
The quality when we're drinking it.
What is it? Just break it down for me. Is it a color thing? Is it a space thing? Is it when we look at a label, what is our connection with that label?
And just before you answer that, I want to say this is one of the most beautiful books. There's no way I'm giving away my copy, David, which often I will do on the show. It is, well, it's perfection, and, I mean, I'm not surprised you own a company, a design company. It, first of all, it's worth a lot more than what you're asking, which is $50, $49.50. So who is the publisher?
The publisher is Valdegrasse Books, and they're based down in Napa, California, which is where we're based out of. But there's a really nice international collection of projects in the book, and thanks for your kind comments. We're really excited about it. We work in about 9 different countries and shared about the 99 kind of top favorites over the last decade that we've worked on.
Yeah, well, it's beautiful, and everybody should buy a copy for a friend who enjoys wine with Christmas coming up. You're going to do really well with this book. Okay, Tony.
Tony's question. You know, what attracts people to labels and what works on wine labels often has a little bit to do with where it's going to be sold. Obviously, things are going to be sold in a restaurant. If they're going to be more exclusive to restaurants versus on shelf, they're going to have different parameters. They'll tend to be a little bit more classy and a little bit more expensive looking versus and more of a retail environment, they'll need to work a little bit harder. And color certainly is something that works at some lower price points. And certainly, space and texture of the label papers all really come together along with gold foil and other kind of print techniques to really kind of establish that quality and those quality cues on packages. But a lot of what we do when we work with our clients, our wineries is to talk to them about what's really core to their story and try to build some storytelling around that and have that label tell that story through picture so that, frankly, before they even spin it around to the back label and read, they're starting to get a real feel for what the brand's all about.
I'm just so fascinated by labels and how they work. Even as you said, a retail label does it have to be higher up on the glass, or how do you decide how to share that real estate?
Well, it is. It's a small chunk of real estate to communicate a lot of different information. Often there's something about certainly wine varietal, so the type of wine, whether it's a Cabernet or Merlot or such, is a major component that needs to be on there. It's kind of the basics. But also there's sometimes vineyard designates, so a specific vineyard of wine comes through that mm-hmm. might be famous, or perhaps even an appellation. And we do consider putting the labels a little bit higher on the bottles so that if they're displayed in the cases they're shipped in, we call them case cuts, where they cut the box down to display the wine.
Right.
At least that information's above that area.
And people aren't just loyal to one brand with wine. That's what's interesting about the business. So, you can design a beautiful label, but people aren't going to always choose that one wine when they're in the shops.
That's so true. I mean, I can't think of too many other categories where you can walk into a store and there's hundreds, if not maybe thousands, of choices. And for that reason, I think there really is kind of a disloyal kind of following of many wines, particularly wines that people look at as a more kind of casual everyday versus something that's perhaps won large awards or garnered huge scores where they're going to be, paying a higher price point for those wines. And so it's a challenge, and thank goodness, because it keeps us in business.
Is there I just want to get back to color for a minute. Is there a color of the moment, or like if you flip through the book, it looks like white is a predominant landscape for labels. But do people say blue labels are in or out, or green or yellow, or how does color work on a label today? If there is an answer to that, I'm not sure.
Yeah,
there is.
Well, I think the white and the cream are continue to be classics, born out of European wine labels and still kind of a very clean look. Color's been an explosion that's really happened and largely led by U.S. and North America markets, who really have changed kind of the perception of wines and how they're being marketed.
Mm-hmm.
And we're definitely injecting a lot more color in to not only communicate flavor cues, if it's a more a kind of fruit-forward berry wine, we're definitely going to be using a lot more reds and purples and berry colors like that.
And
but then there's certainly a trend in color that's been more disruptive. So we've seen things like we created a Tiffany Blue label for Sauvignon Blanc, very obviously not a flavor cue,
mm-hmm.
And it's been wildly popular. And that's definitely been a hot color over the last couple of years.
Our guest is David Schumann. He's the author of 99 Bottles of Wine, The Making of a Contemporary Wine Label.
And I want to know the name of that wine because that is the accent color in my newly renovated condominium.
Oh,
well, I've got the perfect Sauvignon Blanc for you.
Good.
It's called Line 39. It's by Cicchetti Wines. It's actually in the book. So.
Oh, great.
Check it
I'll
out.
I'll take a look for that. What about, is there a color that doesn't work with wine?
I think traditionally there's been a rule that blues are tough with any kind of food products, but we certainly have broken that rule ourselves. I think more and more now that consumers are becoming more accepting of colors that would not necessarily be traditionally associated with wines, particularly at higher end, more expensive wines where people aren't necessarily looking for flavor cues on the label. But I personally don't like a lot of greens. I think they give kind of an herbally or even worse, a minty kind of characteristic to a lot of the label look. And so that's something we always try to strive away from.
I'm kind of a fan, though, particularly in screw cap. I often think that Sauvignon Blanc or Viognier or any of these sort of aromatic varieties, if they had a capsule that had a color that looked like the wine might taste, they would sell easier. This is purely me just thinking, no science behind it. But I don't know. Have the studies suggested that? Or
we've certainly seen that in brands we've created. And case in point, when we do disrupt with a color like Tiffany Blue on the Line 39 Sauvignon Blanc, we actually used a very nice tangerine orange on the capsule, and that certainly promised some very nice tropical flavors.
Right. Okay, let's get to a specific one, and many of our readers or listeners will know about Painted Rock. You did the label for John Skinner, and it's interesting because, of course, we've seen the petroglyphs up on the hills, on the rocks up behind the winery, but they're not on the label. You did something completely different. How did you come about that label?
Well, John's got a spectacular piece of property there, and when he came to us to start talking about the Painted Rock logo, we actually consulted with him on the name, and he was a little bit concerned about it because he wanted to stay away from some of the more indigenous artwork that is found up on the Skaha Bluffs there. And So we started talking about taking on more of kind of a contemporary modern feel to it and really speak to painted rock in a much more abstract way. And together that's how we came up with the two swirls that really represent rocks that are being painted kind of literally onto the label.
Yeah, they look very cool.
And do you present just one label to a client?
I think people would be surprised. We show a lot of work up front. We tend to show around 8 to 10 different concepts, and then we really try to narrow down from there.
Well, what about bottle weight? Does that have any effect on the label that you... It usually means the wine's more expensive, although now, you know, now they're not considered the way to go, but is that something you consider?
There certainly was a huge trend towards very heavy bottles, and I think there's still a large contingency out there with particularly wines that are over $50 to use a heftier piece of glass. But as I think people become more green conscious, and certainly in Europe, there's been a large move to lighter weight glass. I think we're starting to see bottles that appear bigger but aren't necessarily as hefty and heavy in glass.
How does the you get a job at a winery, but the winery is already existing, so there is a design, there's a building, there's a product design, you're coming in with a label. How do you sort of make all those things work, or do you worry about that? You just think that the bottle stands alone out there on the shelf, and I don't know. I just wonder how that process would work with an older winery, I guess.
Yeah, I think over half of the projects we work on are where we're transitioning brands or trying to improve or maybe signal an inward change at the winery with an outward change on the packaging.
Right.
We take a look at the packaging over time and really sometimes even work with consumer testing to identify the what we call kind of key attributes or equity elements on the bottle. That might be a component of their logo or a color, something of that sort, and then really try to take that forward in a way that's, you know, refreshed and new, but still recognizable by the consumers, so that hopefully they gain new consumers that are more interested in the wine because it's been refreshed and looks new, maybe hadn't noticed before on shelf, but we don't lose the people that are the loyal.
Yeah. Does it end up redesigning their website sometimes or redefining it, the way it looks?
Often. I mean, one of the things, we usually start with the packaging there because it's going to be the primary expression of most wineries' logo, and then from there it'll usually roll out slowly into their website and other marketing materials, and
right.
That's certainly something we do a lot of.
It seems to me you can make a fortune in Germany, because those labels are so brutal.
Yeah, Europe has been slow to move, but I think a lot of people might be interested to find that France has spent a lot of time now looking at the U.S. and North America markets and really realizing these are large consumer markets for wine, and you know, more Americans are drinking wine now than ever, where I think we're the largest consumer wines in the world. It's kind of startling and,
mm-hmm.
and pretty amazing.
Is there, I don't know the answer, is there a difference between a wine label and a soap label and all these other labels we see in supermarkets?
You know, it's funny, I think a lot of people don't think so. I came from outside the industry about 12 years ago to work in the wine industry, and I had the same perception, and I couldn't have been more wrong. There are so many nuances to what we do in wine packaging and so many subtle cues and things that need to happen on a label for it to be successful that it really is a specialized art, and there's a lot of thinking and a lot of marketing people that spend a lot of time looking at these things before they go out to shelf.
Yeah. Our guest is David Schumann. He's the author of 99 Bottles of Wine, The Making of Contemporary Wine Labels. David, I did want to ask you one question. What do you make of these groups when you put people in the room and you show them labels? Do you care what those people think, and why do we do that?
Well, a lot of customers that we have use it as a way just to make sure they're not making a huge mistake. We kind of call them disaster checks. But we do get a lot of great nuggets from those consumer insight
really?
Focus groups. And we've even tried serving people the same wine out of two different wine labels just to see which wine they preferred. And they will literally find one wine undrinkable and the next one way preferable. And so that way we know which one their intent to buy is. Strangely enough, we really do drink with our eyes, and we literally perceive the taste of wine much differently when we see a label that we like versus one we don't.
Yeah.
And I'm just looking at Beck's, which is from Germany. Now, that's a very unusual label for a German
wine
company.
Yeah, Beck's. Yeah, it's a German Riesling. It was put out by Purple Wine Company, and they wanted to go after a younger wine consumer, more in kind of a, I guess, a hipster, if you will, new sommelier kind of restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And we created a fully metallized label that's a bright green, really beautiful apple flavor cues from it. And it's embossed with kind of little ribs that give it kind of a very engineered and Germanic look.
Yeah, it's a gorgeous label. How's the wine doing? I haven't even seen that wine in Canada, but...
Yeah, they've done quite well. They started on the East Coast here. They're still doing quite well with the wine. Certainly Rieslings are not is not a kind of wine that's going to really explode, but they've been doing well with it.
And I wanted to ask you about photography because it is not easy to photograph wine bottles. What tips do you have for taking pictures of a wine bottle?
Well, reflections are your biggest enemy with wine bottles because of the glass. It's very difficult. So controlling the lighting, we work with a couple of great photographers that do some amazing work for us, and they do a great job of controlling the lighting using softboxes and things like that. And try to keep it simple. We try to stage them with not too many things so that you don't get a lot of reflections in the glass. And then I must admit we use a lot of Photoshop to clean them up.
Well, I just can't get over these
Even shots. I do that.
Book. And some people aren't even using labels. They're going more with glass bottles, embossed.
Yeah, you can do it directly into the glass as part of the mold, and we just completed a project called Anew for St. Michelle Winery. That's a new Riesling launch for them, and it's all silkscreened on the bottle and then actually custom glass as well, so which in kind of a unique shape. But there's a lot of wineries are moving to kind of a silkscreen look where it's actually painted on the bottle and then fired through a kiln where it actually becomes part of the glass. Mm. And it looks like high-end vodkas and a lot of things that I think a lot of consumers are more familiar with than high-end spirits.
Well, when we were in Spain, we were in Catalonia, and we saw some beautiful designs, wine label designs.
A lot of those labels are defined by the landscape, which is it's kind of cool the way that they've done that. But
about a year ago, they do some amazing work there. Barcelona is probably one of the more exciting design cities in the world for sure.
There seems to be a very strong connection between the wine and the land and the people, and I think that inspires them in some way. Anyway, they're pretty, but they're not old labels. They're very contemporary and very stylish and quite different. So I like the look of them.
Yeah, Spain's been very design forward with a lot of their wine labels, particularly over the last 5 years. We work with Fregenet there in Spain, and they're one of our favorite clients for exactly that reason. They have a very broad mind in what they're looking for.
So I want to ask you a quick question about the end of your service work, because I have this huge bugaboo with wineries. It's midnight. I'm very busy. I'm trying to get a label. I'm trying to finish a story, and they've got nothing on their site. And I'm pretty sure that when you design the label and you're finished with it, you send them copies and photos and JPEGs and all the things they need that they could easily just stick up on their website. Am I right or wrong about that?
No, you're so right. We send them not only the JPEGs and the PDFs and things that they can use to download, but often we're working on their websites. And it's one of the things we tell them is that most of the time when writers are on deadline, they're not going to be calling you at 11 o'clock in the morning. They're going to be sitting in the wee hours writing it.
Yeah,
exactly.
Just go up to your website and download sales sheets and things like that.
All we want is that label shot or that bottle shot.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hard to convince people.
And wineries want to sell wine, so when somebody comes to you and wants a label, do they look at the competition, but do they want to make a fancier label than the guy who they're on the shelf beside, even though his wine might be more expensive?
They might be looking at any number of things. Sometimes it might be just what we call shelf pops. They're really just grabbing more attention, brighter colors, bigger variety. Be able to shop it more quickly. Sometimes they want to look more expensive so that when they're priced at the same as their competitors, they look like a better value. And that's something we do a lot of. That's been a really popular request and something that we recommend to a lot of our wineries that are going to be selling the majority of their wine on a retail shelf. It's a nice way to build in a intrinsic discount without having to actually discount your wine. So if you design it to look like 20, but it's selling for 10, you don't have to discount to 8, if that makes sense.
Right. Well, we don't really discount in the monopoly system.
Yeah.
Not a problem for us.
David, it's Art here, the producer, and I've got one question for you. I've got a bunch of friends in the design world, and they know that I work on the Food & Wine Show, and they always ask me, how would one get into the business? Because they are wine fans, and they would love to, you know, we walk through a wine store or liquor store and go, oh, that's a terrible wine label. I could do so much better. What would you suggest to somebody who would love to do that? How do they get their foot in the door?
Well, I know there's a number of wonderful design studios up in Canada. Certainly, I would talk to them about internships. Wineries are a great place to start as well. There's nothing wrong with learning the business from the ground up. I know a lot of designers that we've hired have worked on crush pads and helped with harvests and things like that, and they have a great, you know, view of the industry from that standpoint as well.
Mm. Well, David, it's been really fun to chat with you and talk about labels. I think you and I have the same challenge now. We just have to convince those damn sommeliers to leave the bottle on the table in the restaurant instead of taking it away and hiding it in the corner, and then we could all enjoy the labels and relate to the wine a lot easier. Thanks for joining us today. It was great.
My pleasure.
And we'll look for your book. Your book will be available around the country. 99 Bottles of Wine, The Making of Contemporary Wine Label. Really a must look for anybody who owns a winery to start with, and people interested in art and wine and labels. A lot of fun. Thanks for joining us, David.
Thank you, and you can get it on 99bottlesofwine.com as well, and have a great afternoon.
Okay, we'll put that up on our site, 99bottlesofwine.com. You're listening to The Best of Food and Wine. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, Art joins us for a very quick chat about Montreal and Spain.